Hello and welcome to a Saturday edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, my friend, Harris Wichard, a.k.a. Moneybags. What's up, Harris?
Thank you for that introduction, Nick, and some success this week in fantasy. So I appreciate those kind words. Digesting what was a crazy week in the NBA, we learned some things. We're getting to find out the identity of some of these clubs. So excited to look at what happened last night, preview some of the games tonight and some fantasy stuff also. So excited to be on with you today.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll probably touch on some teams that are surprised us and some teams that are kind of hitting that panic button early. But let's talk about games last night. First game of the night, Sixers-Pacers. Sixers pull off the win in overtime, 109-105. Joel Embiid looking like rookie of the year.
Yeah, he's been terrific. And you know what's nice to see about him is he's definitely not afraid of the moment down the stretch and
for sure
embracing the crowd. Iverson was in the crowd last night, and one of the announcers pointed to this, and he's right. It almost reminds you how Iverson used to get the crowd engaged. Excuse me, and Embiid kind of does the same thing down the stretch. He was diving on the floor. He was making big shots. So the Pacers are one team that we look at, and we're scratching our head because we thought this team would be a little bit better. I know it's only 9 games. I wouldn't push the panic button yet, 9 games into a season. But to lose to the Sixers, the lowly Sixers, their first win. The thing I take out of this game is, yeah, Embiid's not only the rookie of the year, but he looks like one of the better young bigs in the league. And he's able to score it on the block. He's able to step outside, hit a jump shot. He's active defensively. So a lot of good things going on in Philly right now if you're a loyal Sixers fan who's been through some bad times these last couple years.
Yeah, for sure. You touched on it, the Pacers. I mean, I might be a little bit closer to the panic button because the last game they beat the Sixers, but it was in overtime. So then tonight they face the Sixers again and they lose to them in overtime. So that's the issue. And Embiid kind of gives the Sixers fans hope. You know, like he has star potential and he has like that character that you talked about. Like he gets the crowd into it. He's definitely a fan favorite and he shows some emotion and he steps up in the clutch. He had some big moments last night. So Sixers fan have some hope for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, and there are a few guys in the league that take on a personality like that. You look around, you know Westbrook could jack a crowd up, but usually you have to have some sort of star power or stability in the league. It's almost like the guy, you know, coming into your crew that, you know, already thinks he knows everybody. He's friends with everybody, and he's, you know, he's talking like he's been there for years. Embiid is not a traditional rookie. We know he's been hurt, but this is his first full season, and they get their first win, so happy for the 76er fans who might have something to look forward to in this kid.
Yeah, for sure. Now on the other end of the spectrum, we have the Cavaliers. They faced the Wizards last night. They got on back on track, 105-94. No surprise here. So,
yeah, LeBron surpassed his 27,000 career points and another milestone in the amazing legacy and career of the King. But, yeah, no surprise there. And, you know, the Wizards have struggled. They're 2-6 now, and the Wizards and Pacers, two teams that – I know the Pacers are a team that we thought would be in the top four or so, but this is a Wizards team that was going to contend for a playoff spot. And I know, again, 8 games into the season, they could easily get hot. It's a long, long, long season. They could, again, make a push. But these starts are important, and I know Wall and the Wizards are frustrated.
Yeah, you said it. You know, the starts are important. We talked about this a lot on the preview podcast. You know, how you start the season can have an impact on your season overall because you build that early confidence. You steal a few against a good team. You know, you're going to start to cook. Like talking about the next team, we have the Raptors and the Hornets. Raptors won 113-111, but the Hornets are off to a great start. You know, like they're definitely building confidence. People are starting to respect them more. Your boy Kemba Walker's on fire.
Love.
But the Raptors, their backcourt is very good, and they got the win last night.
Yeah, and again, and not to take a sidetrack to fantasy, but Kemba with a great night and helped me last night. But I've always liked Kemba Walker because of his heart and his hustle. He's from New York. We know what he did in that. Ever since that run in the Big East tournament, I knew there was something special about this kid. And he had that run with UConn and then won the NCAA tournament. And he was a star in 2011, gets drafted in the lottery by Charlotte, stayed with this franchise, has now turned them into a winner, in my opinion. They won 48 games last year. Credit to Michael Jordan for sticking with it also and trying to be a winner off the court. We knew he was a winner on the court for sure. But this is a Hornets franchise now at 6-2. I know they lost by 2 last night, and they were in position to win this ballgame. Give credit to DeRozan, who's over 30 again, and the Raptors are 6-2. But these might be, after the Cavs, the two best teams in the East. I know record-wise they are right now, But we knew the Raptors were going to be there. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. But this Hornets team has been a great surprise. And, you know, I ask you this question, are the Hornets for real?
You know, I think the Hornets are for real. And we talked about this a little bit off the podcast. Kemba's looking like he's hitting that next level. And you said a maturity. You know, he looks a lot more composed. He looks a lot more efficient and in control. And he's leading this team. They also have some nice pieces. Nicholas Batum, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, you know, and Frank Kaminsky, you know, coming off the bench, Marvin Williams. So there's some talent on this team. And, you know, they play hard for their coach, Steve Clifford. Shout out to him. He coached at Delphi. That's a school I went to. But
I know a lot about Delphi, yeah.
Yeah. And Raptors, on the other hand, you know, they're quietly doing business. And DeMar DeRozan is hot. And Lowry also had a big game last night. This is one of the best backcourts in the NBA.
So, yeah, and the Knicks get them tonight, and we'll talk about the Knicks-Celtics game in a moment. But the Raptors are definitely a team that I didn't think they would repeat the success they had last year, so they might be make a believer out of me and say that they can win 50-plus again. But let's talk about for a second. I want to ask you this question. I know you had them in fantasy, so there's some anger behind this next comment. But the Celtics rout the Knicks. The Knicks are now 3-5. I wouldn't honestly say panic time in New York, but Melo gets ejected last night for arguing the officials. The Knicks looked like they were arguing every call last night. Their body language wasn't very good. We're not going to turn this into a Knick hate pod, but what was wrong last night with the Knicks? And is it time yet, as we talk about with the Pacers, for the panic button? And what exactly have you seen in New York that's made you scratch your head?
You know, I think this team, they have some, definitely have some issues. You know, a lot of it, some of it is chemistry, so they still have some time to get things together. But, you know, they lack energy at sometimes. And you see Hornacek go with some of the bench guys for longer periods because at least they come out and play with energy. Hermann Gomez, you know, that kid can play. That's one bright spot for the Knicks. Yeah. But as the starters, you know, the energy isn't always there. Melo gets ejected last night. I mean, he got ejected pretty fast, so a little bit's on the ref. But, you know, you get that first sack, you got to walk away. You know your team needs you, especially in a game that they definitely could have won. You know, Al Horford's out for the Celtics. Crowder was out for the Celtics. Melo was kind of off to a good game, too. I think he had 12 points in 12 minutes. So, you know, man, like, you got to step up as a leader. And they also need Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah to be more consistent. They just need, like, an energy. They need, like, a spark plug for that team to just get everybody ignited all the time and make sure that Kristaps has an easy life.
Jennings has done a decent job.
Yeah, he has. Jennings has played a lot better defense than I ever saw probably in his career. He's picked up guys full court, and that's something I've never really saw from him a lot.
Well, he needs to do it. He needs to do it. And this is a team that has lost some puzzling games. Obviously, we know on opening night they got blown out by the Cavs, but there's some games in there that they could have won. We know they got the win against the Nets and some other games in there, but they're 3-5 now. And they have the Raptors tonight, so we'll look at that game in a moment. But Jazz get a win over the Magic. The Jazz now 6-4. Hayward's been excellent, and I keep stealing people's money because no one's taking Gordon Hayward. I don't get it.
Hayward's rolling. You know, Hayward's back. Derek Favors is back. The Jazz are starting to look like the team that we predicted. And we've mentioned it a million times. They have a lot of depth, too. So I love this Jazz team. Orlando, they struggled, and they're going to continue to struggle all season long.
Agreed. And one of the marquee matchups last night, and it lived up to its hype, the Clippers and Thunder. The Clippers, speaking about the Clippers now, you have to mention them in the upper echelon of the NBA. They've gone out and they've won eight of nine. Their only loss was to the Thunder at home, if I'm not mistaken, because they beat OKC on the road last night. There's two teams out there right now that, to me, are playing the best basketball in the NBA. It's the Cavs and East, and the Cavs are playing it in a relaxed way. This is a Cavs team that's playing it in a relaxed way. This is, we won a championship. The Clippers are on the other end of the spectrum. They're playing it in a pressed way. They know they have an urgency about them because this could be the last hurrah. I see a sense of urgency from the Clippers that I like.
Yeah. You know, the Clippers kind of know. We touched on this before. Chris Paul can opt out. Blake Griffin can opt out. So this could be their last hurrah. They want to make it count. You know, maybe some postseason success will keep their big three together. And I think that was the difference in the game last night. You know, the Clippers had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan. And it was pretty much Russell Westbrook. And, I mean, Victor Oladipo helps and Steven Adams help, but there's just not enough star power on that team for him. They kind of need to make a move and make his life a little easier.
Absolutely. He's been an MVP-type player that we thought he'd be, but we've seen him press and struggle in situations where I got to go 1-on-4. And he took a three last night where it was 110-108. and that was the final, with 6 seconds left, and he came down the court and shot a three because he knew if he went to the rim, there were three guys there, and he didn't want to kick. And yeah, in the past, that's a kick to Durant. They might have won the game. So
yeah, I mean, it hurts them, their lack of shooters. I've always said this for a while. OKC should be a team that stacks up on shooters just because they had KD and Westbrook in the past. And even just Westbrook himself, you need to spread the floor and open up the paint for him because, you said, like you said, driving to the rim and there's three guys, he's not going to make that shot. So he might just settle for the three one-on-one. But his best opportunity to score, we know, is at the rim.
Well, Roberson and is Morrow still – Morrow is like doesn't really
– Morrow, yeah, he plays here and there. And Roberson, he's inconsistent, his shot. You know, yeah, sometimes he can hit 3 for 3 for a game, but the next game he might be 0-4, and two of them might hit side of the backboard.
Yeah, the only problem with that is sometimes, like, they play such a pace where if you just put, like, a slow shooter on the court, that guy could get exposed.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying necessarily somebody slow because we know there's plenty of athletic guys or guys that play hard and can shoot the ball. It's just been a hole in this team for a while. But another good matchup last night, we had the Spurs and the Pistons. Spurs handled business, got the win 96-86. Gasol had a nice game. I noticed one thing about the Pistons. If you have a center that you can pull Drummond away from the rim, it really hurts them because Drummond kind of doesn't – he likes to stay next to the rim. So if anybody that can shoot at that center position kind of causes the Pistons issues.
Yeah, the Pistons battled last night. The Spurs were in trouble at halftime. They were on the verge of losing four straight at home, which they hadn't done since – I think 2003, I think they said before the game, but it's been a while. And so this is a team in the Spurs that has gotten off to a little bit of a shaky start, but they'll settle in. They defended well yesterday, a good Pistons team, a solid Pistons team, now has to go on a back-to-back and travel to Denver tonight. But it's a good, solid win for the Spurs, and they'll get back on track. There's no way in the world with Pop that I'd push it, any sort of panic button because they've lost three at home. But it's a nice win for them. I didn't see much of this game. I saw more of the Portland-Sacramento game, which went to overtime. Didn't see the end of it, but I saw most of it, and I saw Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum continue to be good.
Yeah, Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum were good. But also, DeMarcus Cousins was great. You know, he pulled the clutch at the end trying to get this team the victory. He did everything he could on the court, and you saw the emotion in his face when he had to walk off after the loss. It's tough for the Kings. It's tough for Cousins.
Cousins had 33-9, and the backcourt of McCollum and Lillard combined for 67 last night. And they play a lot of minutes, and they take a lot of shots, but they've been efficient. This is becoming a premier backcourt. I won't say they're pushing Curry and Thompson just yet, but to me, they've definitely surpassed. I mean, Lowry and DeRozan have been great too, but this brings an interesting point and a question to you to the table. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, or Lowry and DeRozan?
You know, it's a very difficult choice. I would say at this exact moment, I probably might go with Dame and CJ just because Lowry's not off to a crazy start. DeRozan is, but Dame is cooking and CJ is cooking. I think, you know, like they both can put up like 20 and a quarter real quick. So I would think those, you know, I would probably go Curry, Clay, Dame, CJ, DeRozan, Lowry as probably my top three backcourts.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so too. I love DeRozan, don't get me wrong, but I think the Portland's a little bit more dynamic, and they have two guys, and McCollum has gotten so much better that he's almost –
he keeps getting better too.
He just keeps getting better and better. So that's something to look at. Now, Beal and Wall were in the conversation for a while, but they're probably fourth now, maybe fifth. You could probably
– I don't know. They, you know, the problem is Beal doesn't spend much time on the court.
Yeah.
So, he's very inconsistent too.
Curry and Clay one, these guys two, and then yeah, I would think Toronto three. But those two and three could flip flop, and
yeah, by the end of the season, it could be the opposite.
The number one spot. I mean, if Thompson, like, it's not reachable for some of these guards.
Yeah, it's tough. I think the one thing that separates the top spot for Curry and Clay is just how good Steph Curry is.
Yeah.
So you know, Clay's kind of off to a little bit of a slow start, but They're both very good, and they're both very good all-around players. I know Curry catches a lot of hate for, you know, his defense sometimes, which isn't even true, and he, like, some of his passes and stuff, but I think he's fine. They're both great all-around players. So we kind of touched on it a little bit before. Who are your surprise teams so far this season? You know, what teams have kind of done a little bit better than you thought and kind of like, oh, okay.
My surprise team, I don't know if this is much of a surprise, but the Hawks are a little bit better than I thought they were. And I've liked what I've seen some Howard. So I don't know if you could look around and say, I mean, you look up and down the standings and there's not one team to me that, like, I know you might have one, but there's not a really team to, like, look at and I'm like, wow, they're a lot better than I thought they'd be. The Hornets are 6-2. I think that might be a little surprise. It's almost too early for me to specifically say, "Oh, that team's a big time surprise." But seeing the Hawks at 6-2 and beating the Cavs is a little bit of a surprise to me. Other than that, I don't look at anybody and specifically say, "Wow, that's a real big surprise that they're there."
I mean, I'm a little bit surprised with the Hornets starting off so hot. You know, I thought that's kind of a surprise. Even the Clippers going 8-1. I know they're a very good team, but starting 8-1 is definitely some success. But a team that definitely has surprised me, and I think surprised both of us, is the Lakers. They already have five wins. They're 5-4 right now.
Yeah, you're right. That could be considered. But, you know, we actually had mentioned on the pod that we thought their young talent could get them, steal them some wins. I don't know if we thought they'd be 5-4. But in December is more of a gauge of me to say, oh, if the Lakers are now 10-8 or 10-7 or 10-6, that's more of a surprise. But I think things are going to start balancing themselves out, and the identities are starting to form, but they haven't really formed to the point where I could say, man, that's a big-time surprise. I think for right now, though, the Hawks is 6-2, and a team that I didn't think was going to contend at the top of the East might have that opportunity to do what they did a couple years ago and be a two-seed, dare I say one-seed, like they were, and then you know we know that they lost to LeBron's Cavs, but I think the Hawks are definitely for real, and they're going to win you know between 50-55 games.
Yeah, I mean Dwight has definitely played better for them, but to go back to the Lakers, I feel like you know I thought they might grab some wins and be a more competitive team, but not this early on. You know I expected them to kind of struggle a little bit earlier in the season, and I think they're only going to get better because they're young players. I don't think they'll be like causing issues in the playoffs or anything. But, I mean, this team is already looking better than I originally had.
Veterans that mixed in well, like Dang has been okay. Lou Williams has made some real big shots off the bench.
Nick Young has stepped up because of Luke Wallen. Yeah, Wallen has done a great job with him.
They do have some veteran pieces around that young core, too.
Yeah, which is something I think is very important. But on the other end, what are the panic teams right now? What teams are like, oh, my God, we need to make a move. We're in trouble right now. Even though it's only, you know, 8-10 games in. Who's off to a disastrous start?
The Wizards. And, you know, being at 2-6 because this team had playoff potential, I would never push the panic button 8 games into a season. For any team, it's too early for surprise panic, in my opinion. But a team that had playoff aspirations, we know like the Suns and, you know, the Timberwolves, we knew wanted to be a little bit better, but they're only 2-5. Like I said, very early. But I think there's something going on in Washington that is far beyond win-loss. It just, there's a dynamic and chemistry there that seems to be lacking.
Yeah, something doesn't seem right there. Another team that's off to a 2-6 start, the Dallas Mavericks. You know, this is a team we probably thought would compete for the playoffs. Dirk has been out a little bit too, but they got off to a really slow start.
I think they'll pick it up.
What are you, between the Pacers and Knicks, who is in a, who are you more ready to hit the panic button for? Knicks 3-5, Pacers 4-5.
It's, I don't know. I want to see what the Knicks look like tonight off a back-to-back in Toronto. But I think the Knicks are in a worse spot just because the Pacers have Paul George, and I believe in Paul George more than anybody on the Knicks roster. But it's so hard. It's so hard to say that. I think both teams will probably compete for a playoff spot no matter what just because – you know, you could play bad basketball in November. You can and still make the playoffs. So you could play horrible basketball in November and December and probably still make the playoffs.
Yeah, you could get hot midseason. Which start, though, do you think is going to impact this team more? Like, you know, losing the confidence early on?
The Knicks.
The Knicks?
Yeah, because they're a more emotional team, more emotional roster. The Pacers have been to the playoffs several years in a row. I mean, I think they missed it last year, but they didn't. They were a 7.
They missed it the year before, but
But they were in the conference finals 2 years in a row before that. So, it's too early for me to be starting saying things like this. The Wizards are the one team in the East that I'm disappointed about, and I thought they'd be better, but it's too early, I think.
All right, on to the next segment. We're going to talk about tonight's games. You want to start this off, Harris?
Yeah, let's and then we'll throw some of the guys that I like in fantasy, and I've been red hot, so hopefully I can stay red hot with it. But let's take a look. Tonight we have some interesting contests. Let me take a look at this. Well, right now I want to make a statement about the games right now. You are still 5 up. You're 27-15. I'm 22-19, so I was not able to make up any games. I'm sorry, 23. So you're up by 4 games right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, all right. Quickly, we'll go through some of these, the more competitive ones, or the ones that might not be as interesting, but you'll take a look at this, a couple of these games, I'm sure, tonight. Lakers at the Pelicans. Who gets this one?
Oh, this is a tough one. Give me the Lakers. The Pelicans just have not looked good. There's been struggling.
I'm not taking Davis in fantasy, but I could see him having a monster night. Give me the Pelicans at home getting their second win. I think this is a great spot for them to steal one, because the Lakers are not as good on the road. I could see the Pelicans stealing this one. It's going to be important for them to start racking up wins against teams like the Lakers. I think give me the Pelicans at home.
Okay. Another guy I think in fantasy, if you're looking for, you know, like a low-value guy, taking a chance on him would be Solomon Hill. He's gotten some decent minutes, and I think he's only like 3,800 in FanDuel, so that'd be somebody I'd keep an eye on. But next game, Celtics-Pacers. So we got Celtics coming in 4-4, Pacers 4-5. Who do you like in this one?
Celtics at the Pacers. Celtics off a back-to-back. Off the
Pacers game, back-to-back, Pacers too.
Off the back-to-back in the loss against the Sixers. I'm going to take the Celtics, but I'm reluctantly doing it because I think this is a game that the Pacers could definitely win.
Yeah, this is a very tough one, because part of me is like, all right, the Pacers need to bounce back. But they also didn't play against the Sixers well 2 games in a row. The Celtics looked pretty good last night. The Pacers have issues with point guards a little bit. I could see Isaiah Thomas having a big game. Give me the Celtics.
Okay, I do too. All right, this is a fantasy alert game for me. The Knicks and Raptors, both teams off a back-to-back last night. Now, I mentioned this to you before the show. Not sure if Joakim Noah is going to play or not in the back-to-back, because he's had some injuries, and he's had, you know, he's in back-to-backs in the past. They haven't played him a ton of minutes, and he hasn't been great off back-to-back. So this is a very risky play at 4,500 for me. But give me a few guys in this game. And I like playing against the Knicks. Playing the hustle guys against the Knicks. So I went with like a Lowry and a Patterson, because I just think, especially of a back-to-back, Patterson a lot of threes, Lowry a lot of shots. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think either teams are really going to be interested in stopping each other tonight, but give me the Raptors at home.
Yeah, Raptors at home in this one. The Knicks haven't shown me enough, and the Raptors can't afford a loss like this at home.
Yeah, so we agree on that. So Sixers-Hawks, I think we both would agree that the Hawks,
yeah, that's an easy one. Yeah. No offense to the Sixers.
Yeah, but let's go Wizards-Bulls. Anything there?
Nothing special to me here. I think the Wizards, we touched on it, they're struggling. And the Bulls, you know, they haven't been as great as their hot start, but give me the Bulls at home.
Nice, yeah, and I agree. Also in the Hawks-Sixers game, a play I really like tonight is Dennis Schroeder at 6,500. He took 19 shots last game, and he's coming off one of his worst offensive performances. He was 5-19. But here's a guy that in the last 4 games has taken 19, 16, 14, and 16 shots. And one of those games got 12 assists, has been playing 32, 33 minutes against Philadelphia. I really like the value for Schroeder tonight.
Yeah, Jeff Teague didn't have a big game this previous one, but the game before that he had a big game against the Sixers. Also, Embiid gets a night off because it's a back-to-back, and Nerlens Noel is still out. So no rim protector really for the Sixers, so Schroeder can definitely find a way to the rim. It's a nice play too.
Yeah, definitely. So we agree on the Hawks. We both agree on the Bulls. So let's take a look at a really intriguing game. To me, the best game of the night. The Spurs at the Rockets. The Spurs trying to avenge a loss from the Rockets. They beat them in San Antonio the other night. Harden's been terrific. Do the Spurs get this one in Houston?
Yeah, the Spurs get this one. Like you said, you hit it right on the head. They're looking for revenge. So James Harden probably still has a big game. I think he had a triple-double against the Spurs the other night, and he looked awesome. So – I mean, it should be fun to watch. I don't think Harden will have a big game again, but I do think Kawhi will have a nice game tonight. He had a bad game last night against Detroit, so he'll probably bounce back, and Houston doesn't play much defense, if any.
Yeah, I agree with the Spurs pick, and I don't really like anybody. Spurs, you never really know, and Houston, you know, they like – this pace is going to be hot, but I'm hesitant to go with anybody in this contest. I've been burned there before. But Clippers at Minnesota, this is a game I really like fantasy-wise. You have the Clippers coming off a back-to-back last night, an emotional game in OKC, and Minnesota that plays that high tempo, the young guys. This is going to be up and down. Paul's is probably a safe pick, but I'm going to go with Griffin at 8,500. I think he thrives against some of those young guys. He's not ready to say that Towns and he's been hearing about all these bigs in Minnesota. He's probably going to come out and play well. Zach LaVine's been excellent and a lot of shot attempts. So I like LaVine and Griffin in this game.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. The only thing I'd be a little bit scared about is a blowout, just because the Clippers have been playing well and the Timberwolves have kind of been hot and cold and their defense has been pretty bad.
They're off a back-to-back, though.
Yeah, true. But the T-Wolves D has been quite really questionable, especially for a Tibbs team. So give me the Clippers in this one.
Agree. The only thing we really disagreed on so far was the Pelicans-Lakers. So let's look at the Jazz and the Heat.
Jazz and Heat. I think the Jazz will continue to roll in this one. We touched on it before. Hayward and Favors back. This team's starting to roll. Give me the Jazz.
I wanted to take the Jazz here, but I got a feeling about the Heat tonight. I don't know. I think the Jazz have been on this long road trip. They played again last night. They looked okay in Orlando. Dragic, Whiteside have been starving for a win. I'm going to take the upset. I'm going to take the Heat.
The next one's a pretty good matchup. This was a tough call. We have the Grizzlies 4-4, Bucks 4-4, Bucks at home. Who do you like?
Give me the Bucks. And I know Muhammad's going to yell at me if he hears this, but I like the way the Bucks have played, and I think they're starting to find an identity again. Jason Kidd's still coaching there, right, or no?
Yep, he is.
So I know there's like a revolving door, I feel like, in Milwaukee. But, you know, you have Dellavedova, who's been great at point guard, and you know, not great. I'd say he's been good. But they're finding a way with the Greek Freak and Parker. They're starting to find an identity. They're getting more comfortable with one another. Give me the Bucks at home.
Yeah, I like the Bucks in this one. I don't see anybody on Memphis dealing with the Greek Freak's length. And Jabari's been off to a great start. And that rookie Brogdon, the second-round pick, kid's been giving him some minutes. He's stepped up. He's not, like, super athletic or anything, but he's a smart player. And Delly gives him a nice little hustle. And every night it seems like somebody's stepping up on the bench for them. So I like the Bucks at home.
Agreed. And now we look at Detroit at Denver. This could be potentially a great fantasy game. NBA TV is covering this one. And so I'm going to go with Detroit on the road. I think we said they played last night and they lost the Spurs by 10. I think they take that momentum and playing decent against San Antonio to beat Denver tonight on the road.
Yeah, I really wanted to pick against you a little bit more, but yeah. I like the Pistons too. I think the Pistons want to be a playoff team. They need to get back to 500. They'll take some lessons from the Spurs game. But I also like this in fantasy too. This just screams fantasy to me for some reason. I'm not sure why, but I just feel like there's going to be some big time value in this.
I think Drummond is the no-brainer pick of the night. I mean, he's at 7,500. He went for 44 against the Spurs last night in a low-scoring game. He had 17 rebounds and 20 points against the Spurs. He's a young kid. He's in shape. He likes this pace. If you're not looking at Andre Drummond tonight, I don't know what you're looking at. I mean, he could be in foul trouble and have a bad game, but this one screams Drummond 60-point fantasy night to me.
Well, and I think Drummond really hasn't had that super crazy night yet. He's definitely due for it. Last season, he started off the season super hot. He was averaging like 20-20 for the first couple games.
He had 20-23 against Milwaukee, and then he had – like a close, but you're right.
What's his highest fantasy point of the season so 61, far?
61.
He hit it once, or?
Yeah, once, and then he had 53. But he honestly, I would be surprised if he'd have a monster night. I think he's the best value pick of the night.
Yeah, because last year he was high all season long. He was over 8K for most of the year, and he was around 9K plus for a little bit too. So yeah. I think you're right. He has good value.
Very good value. Okay, so we both agree on most of that. Now your Nets take on the Suns. Both of my hustle players from the first couple weeks featured in this game, and the Nets still without Jeremy Lin for the next probably 4 or 5 games at least. So the Nets start a long road trip, a Western road trip tonight in Phoenix. What do you think about the Nets' chances in Phoenix tonight?
You know, I think this is going to be a very good game. Both these teams kind of remind me of each other a little bit. They're both young. A lot of people didn't give them much credit. They thought they'd be bottom 5 in the league, which they probably are still around the bottom. but they both play hard. They both chippy, and they have your hustler players in Trevor Booker and TJ Warren. So I like this game. I also like this game in fantasy. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. But, you know, I'm not going to go against the Nets against the Suns. If I'm picking them all the time, I'm going to take them in this game for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Suns at home. But I think Bojan Bogdanović has good value at 4,200. He's a guy that's taken a ton of threes. So if you're looking for those guys, those 4,400, 4,200 players, they need to slide in the bottom. The only guy that I picked tonight that I'm kind of concerned about is Noah off a back-to-back. Not sure he's going to play. So I might mess around with that. Any other guys you really like?
I think Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's starting to pick it up a little bit for the Nets. And, you know, they're going to need his defense a lot, especially with all the explosive players for the Suns. You know, someone to deal with Eric Bledsoe, Brandon Knight, Devin Booker, TJ Warren. And Hollis-Jefferson's really the only great defender on the Nets. So he could definitely see some minutes. He's starting to fill up the stat sheet a little bit. He's not a ton of points, but he gets you those rebounds, steals, blocks. So he's a guy I don't mind for a low value.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with RHJ. And I think this is, again, there are a couple games tonight that you look at. Detroit, Denver, Brooklyn, Phoenix. To me, the Clippers in Minnesota. There are a few of them that you look at and they're like, wow, that's, you know, the Knicks in Toronto for me is another one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's 11 games tonight. And definitely enjoy all of those. It's been definitely a fun start to the season. And for me, this past week has been a little more entertaining. But I definitely think my big takeaway from all this is that surprise, panic, I think I ought to wait two more weeks to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could take a little bit from the early on, but, you know, there's a lot can change, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of moves this season. But it's off to a great NBA season. I've definitely enjoyed it a lot. My life feels like it's 100 times better when the NBA's on.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. It's definitely been fun. We installed the League Pass over here, so over the last few days, it's been a lot of fun to catch up on some games. But enjoy the start. You know, we got 7 o'clock all the way through the end of the night. And, again, guys, appreciate all the support. I know it's been really exciting for all of our writers and everybody to get back on board. But all the support, everybody that's tuned in, everyone that's tweeted, every single one of those has been much appreciated. And I know we're going to keep this moving throughout the course of the year, and I'm excited to see where it progresses.
Yeah, like Harris said, thanks everybody for the support. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, SoundCloud, iTunes. Comment, tweet us, let us know what you think. Like us, hate us, we want to know.